All right, agenda paper 10, which explains why we have Kenichi here. Investment property.
Thank you, Randy. Good afternoon, everybody. In the last meeting in January 2013, the committee agreed that there is merit in exploring approaches to amending the definition of investment property in IS 40 in order to accommodate an emerging business model such as leasing spaces in telecommunication towers. However, the committee was concerned about whether the meaning of the term property in IS 40 should be consistent with its meaning in the new lease accounting model, and asked the staff to seek the board's views on whether the definition of the term property in IS 40 should be consistent with that in the new leases standard. In response to this request, this agenda paper presents updates on the leases project and our analysis on how to proceed with this issue. First, with regard to the leases project, in the January 2013 meeting, the ISB tentatively decided that the term property in the leases standard should be defined consistently with the definition of investment property in the current IS 40. On the basis of that decision, the exposure draft that was published in May this year uses the same definition of property, that is namely land or building. This means at this stage, the ISB does not intend to use a different definition of property in the leases standard. However, as mentioned earlier, we understand that the committee thinks that there is merit in expanding the scope of the term property for the purpose of IS 40. So we think the committee should develop an approach to amending the definition of investment property and recommend to the ISB that it should consider the amendment within the context of both the IS 40 and the leases standard in the comment letter analysis phase of the leases project. And when it comes to the approach to the amendment, we think that investment property should also include a structure if cash flows generated from the structure is significantly affected by the location of the land in which the structure is built or attached to. In our view, if the location of property such as land or a normal building was different, the property would not generate cash flows in the manner originally intended. This does not apply to readily movable assets such as a car, airplane, and ship. So we think this characteristic of property should be used in the amended definition of investment property in order to achieve some consistent accounting between a building and a structure that are used for similar business activities. And our questions are, question one is, does the interpretation committee agree with the staff recommendation that it should develop an amendment to IS 40 and recommend to the ISB that it should consider the amendment, the proposed amendment, when finalizing the leases standard? If the answer to the question is yes, does the interpretation committee agree with the proposed amendment to the definition of investment property in IS 40?
Comment? Mark?
Yes, that one. I mean, I went through the examples, I saw examples like power plant or pipeline. I understand that the value of property, plant, and equipment is something which I have to, well, say value on the one hand side. On the other side, for me, the question would be important, what is the real value driver here? And the real value driver could be a kind of concession or allowance to build such a plant on this land, however, for a limited time. So what I'm valuing then would be not be property, plant, and equipment, but would be the allowance to have the power plant there. And we probably have to be careful with the separation, what we are talking about and what has to be valued.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a common notion, although, and Alan, correct me if I'm wrong, I think the discussion document you're about to see on conceptual framework says that generally, we're talking about the bundle of rights in any asset.
Correct.
and not the physical property of the asset, so that the distinction may not be as important going forward as some perceive it to be today, but I take your point. Joanna?
I am extremely concerned about the way this is going, so I guess my answer is I don't support the recommendation of moving forward of this. I think that this is an enormous change and proposal and could open up a whole can of worms, and I know why we started doing this. There was a specific request on some specific types of things. I think it is widening it enormously, and I do question whether it is appropriate that the Interpretations Committee should be looking at this, particularly when the board have specifically on leases said no, we're sticking with that same definition. And in fact, if we continue, there are some real issues around what's in the lease standard around the attachment of land or not, and this case saying it's almost as though we have driven to get the answer that we want to get, as a so thinking, well, how can we narrow it sufficiently without really a robust thing of actually saying, well, what is investment property? So I am concerned. I honestly believe that we should be stopping this right now.
We'll put you down as undecided. Laurent?
I'm going to express two comments. The first one is I noticed in your paper you refer to the characteristic that the asset cannot be moved easily to be one of the criterion to look at to be in the scope of investment property, whereas I can't see that criterion in the criteria you list in paragraph 19. I don't see it. Considering the telco towers, I'm still undecided whether it's appropriate to make them fit in IS 40 or not. There is one thing which may be different, a characteristic that may be different from other properties and building, is that on its own, can a telco tower have value on its own? That is, I understand that telco towers, they are of interest to operators and for telco towers companies leasing these. If you have a network you can rent out. That is, a single telco tower with its remit where you can put the antenna and can one telco tower have value on its own rather than a network of telco towers that would be rented. And my question then is, knowing that fact, is that fact important to distinguish and explain that you are in or not in IS 40 and make a difference with other types of investment properties?
But when it comes to telecom towers, our other towers should not be held by its own entity. So one tower can generate rental income, and other towers could be held by other entities. Even in that case, yeah, that tower can generate for that entity.
But if I'm an operator, and I'm not interested in a single tower, I suppose.
Well, but if you're an operator, a telco operator, then we're not in the game, because that would be owner-occupied. These are people who rent out space to maybe a dozen different telco networks who just... all of them have a common need for a tower in this spot. So it's there may be a network effect, but the network effect, it seems to me, is more likely to belong to the telco companies rather than the tower owner. So I guess that's the distinction I would draw, Laurence. Let's see. John.
Just a comment first on the telephone towers. I mean, the problem is that if you lease space in a telco tower, you don't lease space in one tower because it's worthless. You lease space in a significant number of towers because you're actually creating a network for the telco operator. So I think that there is an issue about is there value in the tower itself, because there's no value to any operator in leasing a space on one tower. Just a couple of comments. I mean, I think some of the concerns, I mean, I suppose conceptually I'm supportive of expanding the scope of IAS 40 and including more assets, giving the option of fair value through P&L for more assets that are held in business models that are actually used to generate, you know, leasing out and rentals, because that's the nature of the activity of those entities, and therefore I don't see why someone who owns real property and lets it out for rental and capital appreciation has that option, and someone who does telco towers or storage tanks does not. However, I think there's a couple of, I mean, and maybe this is a timing issue, I think there's a couple of issues that are troubling. One is, I think that once you do that for some of these assets, this expanded scope of assets, it puts a lot of pressure then on the whole notion of ancillary services and what's owner-occupied because of the ancillary services, which, I mean, that exists today with property, but it's maybe lesser of an issue there than it's going to be with some of these other types of assets that where the ancillary services are more extensive. I think it's also going to put a lot of pressure on because of the interaction with the leases ED and the use of the definition of property in there. And again, I think we would want to understand, I mean, the board decided not to go with the current definition, but I'd like to understand more about the future interaction of the definition of property in IAS 40 and what's actually going to be in the leases proposals, and therefore there's a timing question, I suppose, about the sequencing of these events. Just on the actual proposal itself, I mean, there's two notions embedded, I think, in the extension of definition. It's the future cash flows to be earned from the structure depend largely upon the location of the land to which the structure is attached directly or indirectly. So there's an attachment notion. In other words, it seems like we're saying that the structure has to be attached directly or indirectly. And I'm not quite sure what indirect attachment is, because if I bolt a machine to a building and the building is attached to land, is the machine indirectly attached to the land? So I'm not quite sure that indirect attachment is something that I think we would need to expand that principle of attachment being important. If it's important to extension of definition, I think we need to work on what it really means. And then the location of the land is important to the cash flows. I mean, the location of lots of assets can be significant cash flow variation depending upon the location of lots of assets that themselves may be movable. So I do think that the attachment notion is also important. It's not just driven by location value, because many assets have location value even though they're movable. So that's my thinking, and I like the idea of expanding the scope, but I think there's a number of hurdles to be crossed, both in terms of the actual definition and in terms of the interaction with the leases ED and clarity and further clarity in ancillary services.
Well, since we have Petrina at the table, would you tell us, Petrina, is the leases ED a deal breaker?
In my view, no. But I'll tell you why. I suppose I see this issue more, I suppose, first and foremost, and what has been asked of you is to think about it in the context of IAS 40. And from the lessor's perspective, I suppose, and whether it makes sense, it makes sense to expand the population of things that might get IAS 40 accounting from a lessor's perspective. I think that when the boards have then used the definition of property in IAS 40 in leases, we've used it, there's some similar thinking, I suppose, has gone into, you know, when do we think it's, you know, appropriate that there might be a different accounting for both lessee and lessor, you know, in the context of leases. That's why we've used property. We saw that there's obviously the thinking in leases is around, you know, the underlying asset being different, that there's a different kind of consumption of underlying asset, and using property and using that definition that's in IAS 40 seemed to be a good starting point for us in leases and thinking about that. I think sometimes, I mean, maybe just to clarify if it's helpful, well, what was the board's thinking maybe back in January and just using IAS 40, and maybe, you know, why didn't they go further and maybe try to expand that or do something different? The board members who are here can correct me if I'm wrong, but I suppose in my perspective, I think at that stage of the leases project, we'd already kind of completed redeliberations. We were trying to get to an exposure draft, and I think it's not that the boards thought they don't want to go somewhere further or somewhere different. It's more that at that stage of the project, we had sort of enough issues and leases in a sense to deal with, as opposed to biting off another one, which was, what do we think property is, and should towers and pipelines and everything else also be considered property? So I think timing-wise, it wasn't that they wouldn't want to go somewhere else. It was that it wasn't the time within the leases project to do it. So, I come back to, and I suppose as a starting, the other thing that the board would then have to, I mean, if you decide to recommend to the board and the ISB where to decide to do something different on IAS 40 and expand the definition, then I think that could be done, and then it would be something for the boards to consider then separately again in the context of leases. Because in leases as well, we'd then have this question about lessee side and lessor side. And I think that whatever you would decide from a lessor perspective from IAS 40 probably would link quite neatly to our lessor thinking, but there's another piece for us to think about.
Thank you, Petrina. Okay, I've lost track of the first in, first out, so I'm going to start with Andrew and just work my way around my list.
Well, I hear what Petrina just said, but I'm not convinced. We're only going to be in the scope of IAS 40 under the leasing ED for a lessor if it's a Type B lease. And the Type A, Type B distinction depends on whether it's a property or not. So to have misaligned definitions between IAS 40 and the leasing ED, or potentially misaligned definitions, I'm not quite sure what I'd be supporting if I was to support this way forward. So this does seem so inextricably tied up with the leasing project. It just seems curious to move forward without having that clarity. I think like John, I like the idea of emphasising the business model more than whether we have floors, walls and a roof with the physical asset, but I'm just not quite convinced this is the right time. At a slightly more detailed level, as Jonathan again noted, this definition incorporates the notion of being fixed to the land and also a notion of the interaction between the cash flows and the location. The text says depends largely, which seems to set quite a high bar, a high degree of dependency, whereas in the examples, it's actually almost impossible not to meet that part of the test. It's almost impossible to get something that's attached to the land and isn't movable without the value being dependent enough on the location to pass that part of the test. I'm not quite sure what the principle is, or if in fact there isn't really a principle at all, and you just get a free pass on that part of it every time.
Charlotte?
I agree with where the staff have gone on this. I think it's good to link it to the business model and the way you earn income on it. I understand the concerns about the lease project, in particular a couple of the areas I was looking at, which was pipeline and optic cable, for example. Whether they met the requirements seemed to depend on how whether it was leased out, so you automatically were going to have that issue and that question. You were going to have to face it pretty quickly. So, and I also wasn't clear on the sort of the location of the land which attached and how that brought into play. The only place it seemed to come into play was on the freight and the sort of boat thing, which I would argue actually the location of where your boats are is pretty significant. It might not be attached to the land, but it's often restricted to a certain freight route, and was that not enough? So.
Hey, Wong.
I think the paper is on the good direction, and the only thing we probably need to is to differentiate the investment property and the owned occupied property. We have, as I reminded, we have discussed that the whether which has whether initial ancillary service are provided or not, the staff may develop a guidance by doing that. Provide further guidance.
Okay. Joanna and Martin, you've already been in, so let me work my way on around. Scott?
Well, I think I agree in general with looking more at the business model rather than the type of thing we're talking about. So limiting it to land and building doesn't feel right to me when there are other things that seem to be used the same way. That being said, I think the same things that we're trying to use, fixed to the land and that kind of stuff, are the things that the board is trying to use to differentiate the different types of leases in a leasing project. So I think we almost have to come to the same answer. If that's the case, then I'm trying to figure out, are we doing this in part to help the board with the leasing project? If so, fine. Let's do that. If not, we ought to follow the leasing project, let the board deal with the issue, and then modify IAS 40 afterwards. And maybe, Katrina, you can help with that a little. It seemed like when you were talking, it was maybe a little bit of the board didn't deal with the issue, but is really looking forward to us dealing with the issue. Is that correct?
Maybe I'm speaking personally. You solve it. I would love it. and this could be entirely my, giving you my personal views. I think you're right. I mean, I think I agree with what everybody said, to say these are, you know, so linked, and there's two ways then to go about it. There's to say leases, you know, comes first, and the board deals with it there and amends IAS 40 accordingly, depending on the outcome there. Or the alternative is, you know, IAS 40 is possibly amended first. It's thought about from that lessor perspective, and the board comes along and takes that into account in leases. The reason I think the second is still a possibility, by the way, not a possibility, realistic, and would be maybe my first choice, is that there's a number of options that the board would have when coming along with leases and looking at IAS 40. They could do, like, you know, what was done in the previous ED. You could decide, look, if you and then ultimately the ISB has accepted that, you know, the best reporting for, you know, a broader population of entities that lease out, you know, certain amounts of space, is to expand IAS 40 and use IAS 40, then in leases, the board could come along like it did in the 2010 ED and just kind of, you know, scope out anything that flows within IAS 40 from whatever they might be doing around lessor accounting in the leases project. So I suppose that's why I think, you know, it's possible for IAS 40 to move ahead first and then leases to come after.
Yeah, I think, piggybacking on Katrina's comment, she was very diplomatic in describing the board's thought process, but I have observed boards over the years, and when they get enough in a project, they say enough. Yeah, there are six more issues we could consider, but we're done for now. Not good, not bad, but it is human. We've had the opportunity to think a lot about this. And so whatever our thinking is, we ought to give to the board rather than just sitting back and saying, well, we'll let the board decide and then that'll dictate the answer to this issue. Seems to me incumbent on us to share our thinking with them.
Right. What I'm worried about, and it you know, to some extent it comes out of the drafting of the proposed amendment is, for purposes of this standard, property means...
Yes, point taken.
I don't want to have to say that.
Point taken, you're absolutely right, and there's a clear link there, but as I said, I do think it's incumbent on us to tell the board, if we have a view, what the view is, and share our thinking with them, because they haven't thought about this the way we have. Tony?
I guess two parts to my thinking. I agree with several people who've said that it would be helpful to broaden what can be classified as an investment property into things that are held to collect rental income and so on, but don't currently meet the definition. So looked at in isolation, I think I would support the direction the staff is taking. And sort of following that along, I thought I could have probably two comments on what has actually been written. I think it will be possible to craft that definition without using the word property or for the purposes of this standard. So an investment property is land or buildings that are held for and something fixed to the land. And I know that's not the right words, but you could craft that definition without using the word property. Second thought on the way it works at the moment, there seems to me, I think Laurence said, a slight disconnect between paragraph 19 and the actual words that have been used. But my sense is both of those could perhaps be polished up to come up with something that might work, and I would support that. I think my concern is then that I'm not sure the committee should be the tail wagging the dog. And so maybe I would support your thinking of sharing what we have thought with the board rather than making a recommendation to do something. So I support this thinking. I'm just concerned about, say, the tail wagging the dog and driving what the board's doing.
Okay. Martin, recycling.
Yes. John, Charles, and Scott, they all use the term business model. And I said, okay, they would agree, or they say, might fit to the business model. However, IS 40 does not reflect the business model. IS 40 is more broad, more general, and also unintended use is affected by IS 40. And for me, the question is, and we are always discussing about overwhelming disclosures, what are the consequences for, say, chemical companies, power companies, whatever, who have currently unintended use or, which have not as a business model leased something out. And what is the pure, well, philosophy beyond IRS 40 with regard to the fair value? Because here what we are talking about is probably a kind of fair value measurement for these towers. But on the other hand, for all IRS 40 property, we have fair value measurement disclosures, which are completely costly to prepare. And on the other hand, if I have very so specific items, well, how reliable is this fair value? So for me, this is a kind of open story. I see this point that if it fits to a business model, fair value could make sense. However, for all other cases, and we have a lot here, where it is not a business, I see challenges.
Joanna?
In some ways, my comment is not unrelated to Martin's, and I do start by, although I said I disagreed with this to start with, overall, the comment that John made about supporting more fair value and doing this, I do support the expansion of IS 40. And I think linked to that and the use of the term business model, and we have linked it to these new emerging business models, i.e. a telecommunications tower, and I would argue, and it comes back to, why property? If I leased a ship, what is the difference between a ship and a telecommunications tower and a building? I.e., the business model to me is that I'm earning rentals or capital appreciation. Okay, for a ship, it's just earning rentals. And it generates cash flows, maybe independently of other assets held by the entity. That's the business model. The fact that it's attached to land. So what? You know, and I have written, I'm afraid here, clutching at straws in terms of trying to find something that fits. So if we're going to go ahead with this and make the fundamental change as I've described at the first place, to me, we should be doing it moving away from that definition of property, so it moves away from the issue about the definition of property, and actually say it's about the business model, which is about earning rentals and that are independent from the rest of the business.
Charlotte?
What Martin said, I don't understand how in your situation where somebody accidentally, how somebody could accidentally get one of these, because it's got to be held for the purpose of earning rentals of capital appreciation. So how does that happen by accident? And normally that's quite a high hurdle to make to actually achieve that. So.
Yeah, for example, if you do a restructuring, you have not, well, build it with the intention to lease it out. But that's the only opportunity you have then. Or it might be that for a short term being, you have a kind of unintended use.
But I'm back on Joanne's point. I mean, I agree with where you're going, but I think that your first comment about scope quickly, that would be too far for it to go, I think, would capture that. I think it's the right way to go. I'm not saying I don't. So.
I'm going to have a question for Scott eventually, but Reinhardt?
My comments are similar to the ones Joanna just made in terms of, you know, being supportive of conceptually broadening the scope of IS 40, but concern about the criteria that we're focusing on, you know, particularly this one about being the location of the land, because to me, just stepping back, it seems very much similar to the thinking that we currently have. It's tied to land, buildings, whatever. What about the satellite in space where the satellite operator is leasing out a channel? I mean, it's no different from a fiber optic cable, whatever. So if we're looking to, you know, new, quote, business models and scoping them into IS 40, I'm not sure these are the right criteria in that respect. And then secondly, going forward, if the intent is ultimately to be able to use fair value, I think the point Joanna made, is there an established market for which we can determine fair value of telecom towers, where you know the value of that likely depends on the network to some extent? I'm concerned. Maybe that's a separate issue in terms of the reliability of the measurement of fair value, but it's just a question that goes through my mind.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but in 16, the revaluation model is a free choice.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Sure.
So the only difference, disclosures notwithstanding, is whether or not it goes through P&L. So I could revalue these tomorrow and wouldn't even have to ask permission. So the difference is whether I get to put it in P&L. Scott, question for you. The FASB, as I recall, spent considerable time worrying about whether an asset was affixed to land.
Yeah.
Do you remember? What was the context for that? That's what I don't remember.
The context was leasing, because you have different criteria for operating versus capital based on whether it's real estate
right.
or not. And they came up with the notion of integral equipment, which I think is very much like our discussion here, as U.S. practitioners are wont to do, we've got some tests to decide whether something is integral. So to decide whether it's sufficiently affixed to the land, we think about how much it would cost to remove or how much of the value of the asset would be destroyed if it were removed from the land. So there's a 10% threshold and things like that. But the principle is roughly the same as where we're going here.
Isn't it, sorry, just it's around the concept not just lease but also sales, isn't it? Because there's a different threshold for sales of real estate.
Yes, that's absolutely right. I think the issue was driven originally by leasing, but you're right. It applies to sales as well, because you've got to decide whether you're selling real estate or not.
Yeah, because there is a sort of higher threshold today in meeting sales accounting for real estate.
John and then Ronce, and then I'm going to call it a quit.
Just to Martin's comment about business model, I mean, I was using the term business model loosely. It's really purpose for which the asset is held. It's actually not a business model test in IAS 40. It's a purpose for which the asset is held, and therefore it is different because you cannot be in a leasing business model, but you can have an asset whose purpose is held for rental. So, I mean, the other one that Ronald raised in relation to satellites is interesting because, you know, in theory, there's no... In concept, there's no reason why assets like that that are held for rental shouldn't also be included. But perhaps it's a satellite is attached to land by gravity or something.
Geosynchronous orbit, then it's over the same piece of land. Yeah, that would be the difference.
Let the record show that we have reached the absurd at 2:35 in the afternoon.
I was researching telecommunications towers in here, and they actually have ones that are suspended by balloons. They don't touch the ground, and they move them.
2:36. Laurence, last word.
Yes. Similarly to Reinhardt and Martin, I would share concerns about the expansion of the scope, particularly for the consequences of bringing them in scope, either because if an entity chooses the fair value model, how to determine fair value, and we know that it may hit some very hard assets which are difficult to fair value, or if it is not the fair value model, even under the cost model, you have to provide the fair value disclosures. And providing fair value disclosures on a regular basis on power plants and things like that, stadiums and so on, I say good luck. So while I can understand opening it up for telco towers, I'm not ready to open it up for too many hard assets.
Okay. Seems to me we've got a couple of things here. A couple of no votes notwithstanding. I sense general support for an opening of the scope. The notion of a fix to land got, I didn't hear any support for that. There's an obvious concern that this has to work together with the leasing document. That the minute we have to say for purposes of this standard, property means this, but it means something else someplace else, we're in trouble. That's
I agree with Tony. We could skip defining property.
Right.
Rights to buy investment property.
But you'd still potentially have the problem. I am concerned a little bit that the rationale is different. That in the leasing document, Petrina, I thought the focus was on did you consume substantially all of the property? And that's not the same as whether or not something is an investment property.
I agree. I think there's a slightly different focus in leases, at least at the moment, than there is
but
an investment.
Having said that, I think that goes to the level of something that the board ultimately has to resolve, as they would if we recommended that they do this straight up. So... my proposal is that we communicate to the board that we've had these conversations, that there is general support for broadening the scope of IAS 40, but we're not quite sure how to do it, but that we want the board to know that we've talked about it and that in general we think specifically for telecoms towers, I didn't hear anybody saying it was a bad idea there, but that it may be a larger population and that the board needs to have this on its list of stuff to do in the leasing document, or it needs to explicitly tell us that it's okay to do whatever we want. That's kind of the choice that we put to it. Ah, thank you, Alan. Alan has reminded me that I didn't call on Sandy and Luca, so... Luca, additional comments? We're live. So Sandy, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I tried to butt in, interrupt earlier. It didn't work, I guess. My concern was expressed somewhat by what Joanne said and John said about we seem to be expanding the scope of IAS 40 and sort of on an exception by exception basis. I'm not keen on business models. It just feels like we're trying to make this work, and all really so that we can get the fair value adjustment through the income statement. And so to me, you know, comparability and what's next and those sorts of things all come to mind. So I would agree with your sort of summation. I mean, I obviously wouldn't have a problem with expanding the use of fair value, but expanding it sort of willy-nilly with all these different variations of a business model makes it hard for users of the financial statements to understand when, in fact, you apply this and when you don't.
Point taken. Luca, are you there?
I don't think he's there. I actually mistakenly dialed into the morning number, and when I dialed into this one, it said there were only two, which I presume is you and me.
Okay. All right, then I think we know where we're going on this one. Thank you very much, Petrina, for being called without advance notice.